A good first look at the job market as we await Friday's all-important employment report.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In the past 3 months, employers cut fewer jobs than in any quarter since 1995. That's according to a report out this morning from the job placement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas. It's a report that's watched closely by economists ahead of the government's monthly employment report, which comes out on Friday. Rick Cobb is the executive vice president of Challenger Gray and Christmas. He's with us live now from Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning.
So it seems like a pretty strong report, Rick. Am I missing anything?
Actually, the only thing that we need to look at is the government jobs spiked up to 12-month high.
Job so cuts in the government.
The job cuts in the government and private sector went up 18% from the previous period, and this is the highest in 12 months.
And that's obviously as governments try to cut their budgets and they're cutting jobs. I noted that you said in this morning's report that as the talent pool shrinks in the country, employers might actually increase their hiring.
Absolutely. Companies have been running it as about as efficiently as they possibly can during this downturn, and they're sort of stretched out. So as things begin to improve, companies are going to have to start hiring.
What does this report, Rick, tell you about what the job picture looks like as we await Friday's report from the Labor Department?
Well, the problem with layoff data is it looks about 6 to 8 months ahead. So what we're looking at are things that will probably happen sometime in the next two quarters. But this is a trend that started last year. So we're optimistic about the report coming up.
Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President of Challenger Gray and Christmas, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, first it was Wisconsin, and now Ohio is looking to curb collective bargaining rights for unionized public workers. Ohio lawmakers are expected to vote on a bill today. Bill Cohen reports from Columbus.
Union activists call the Ohio collective bargaining bill worse than Wisconsin's because the Ohio plan impacts twice as many workers. Plus, it weakens bargaining power even for police and firefighters. And it says public employees no longer have to pay the equivalent of union dues. Republican Governor John Kasich loves the bill. He says it would help government cut costs and avoid tax hikes so Ohio could attract new companies and jobs.
If a company can't manage its costs, it usually goes bankrupt. But if a company can manage its costs, and if a state can manage its costs, and if local government can manage its costs, we're going to be on the right footing.
Democrats and unions, though, see this as a Republican plan to wipe out their power base. Thousands of police, teachers, and prison guards have been protesting. Republicans have the votes to push the bill through, but critics have a plan B, a petition drive that would put the law onto the ballot so voters could kill it. In Columbus, I'm Bill Cohen for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across the globe. Tokyo rose more than 2% today. Canadian drug company Valeant wants to buy rival Cephalon for about $6 billion. Cephalon is said to have a lot of promising drugs in its pipeline. Also, the Mortgage Bankers Association said this morning that with interest rates creeping up to about 5% for a 30-year fixed mortgage, the number of mortgage applications fell 7% last week. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 81 points to close at 12,279.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mini, with 37 miles per gallon and 3 years or 36,000 miles of boot-to-bonnet maintenance. MiniUSA.com/info. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com.
The Federal Reserve says it will not make its April 21st deadline to issue new rules on the fees banks can charge merchants when a debit card is used. The rules are part of the new financial reform law, and the delay is being blamed on the flood of complaints coming into the Fed, many of them from big banks. For more, we're joined by LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So tell us what this fight is really all about.
Well, profits, not to put too fine a point on it. Now, the financial reform legislation that was passed in Washington, the Dodd-Frank bill, it cuts a broad swath. It goes after late fees on credit cards. It goes after overdraft protection. It goes after swipe fees. I mean, it really cuts a lot of ground. Now, a lot of these practices, lawmakers said, were abusive towards consumers. Banks said, no, this is part of our regular cost structure.
And the Dodd-Frank law is supposed to make things better for consumers and maybe, therefore, tougher on the banks.
Well, it's supposed to make things more transparent for consumers and also fairer for consumers. But here's the real thing now. Some would say that the $25 billion or so that's estimated to be lost to the banks was simply ill-gotten booty when it came to all the charges. The banks would say, no, this is money that was part of our regular profit line and our shareholders are expecting it. So the result is even though they've been cut off on some sides of the revenue structure, they're now imposing new fees in other places, such as free checking. Forget about it. It's gone. B of A imposing a $59 charge on some credit cards. Chase experimenting with $5 ATM fees.
And do they really have to do that stuff, or is that just a way to try to get regulators to weaken these new rules?
Well, it's complicated. On the one hand, they're trying to make up revenue, and they want to keep their shareholders happy. On the other hand, they've been saying all along, look, if you turn the screws somewhere for us, we're going to need to turn the screws somewhere else. And they're kind of putting consumers in the middle. It's a little bit of a game of chicken right now between regulators and banks as to who's going to blink first.
And how do consumers end up in all of this?
Well, they end up between a rock and a hard place, but they do have some choices. For the moment, it looks like credit unions offer a good alternative, but they too might follow suit. A lot of the smaller institutions will probably follow the bigger banks down the more fees road, but there are choices in the marketplace. You should look around for them.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, new research from a British dog food company finds man's best friend is a common thief. The company says canines steal more than $50 million worth of stuff from humans every year in the UK. Around 11% of pet owners said their dog stole cash and jewelry, while 74% reported their underwear had been nicked. Experts say the dogs just do it so their owners will play with them. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
College tuition and fees are high and rising, which presents a problem for the schools.
The challenge for higher education, and has been for a long time and will continue to be, is how do we maintain access at reasonable prices and still generate enough revenue to provide a quality product.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Tuition discounting is a great deal for students, not so much, though, for the schools they'll attend. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.